TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Palestine is Still the Issue, by historian Ilan Pappé. Professor Ilan Pappé is the best-known member of Israel's generation of new historians. They have been rewriting the history of Israel's founding in 1948. Thanks to the declassification of British and Israeli documents in the 1980s, Pappé has dedicated himself to exposing the myth around what Israel calls its war of independence. That war led to the ethnic cleansing of 750,000 Palestinians and the destruction of over 500 of their villages in what is now Israel. That's described in Pappé's seminal book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, published in 2006, while he was chair of the Institute for Palestinian and Israeli Studies at Haifa University. The publication led to personal attacks on him in the Israeli Knesset and in Israel's academia. After threats on his person, Pappé left Israel in 2008 and was welcomed at the University of Exeter in Britain. There, he's currently the director of the university's European Center for Palestine Studies. Pappé says that reconciliation between Palestinians and Israelis in a future peace process must be based on an investigation of war crimes committed by Israel in 1948. Pappé supports the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, for an economic and political boycott of Israel. He believes boycotts are justified because, quote, the Israeli occupation is a dynamic process and becomes worse with each passing day. He hopes to see, quote, a historical movement similar to the anti-apartheid campaign against the white supremacist regime in South Africa. This can move us forward along the only remaining viable and nonviolent road to saving both Palestinians and Israelis from an impending catastrophe. End quote. At the time of partition, the Jewish population owned less than 6% of Palestine. When Israel declared its independence in 1948, it came into existence on 78% of historic Palestine, a percentage it has steadily increased in subsequent years, a process that continues today. In 1967, Israel occupied the remaining 22% of historic Palestine, the West Bank and Gaza, as well as large sections of Syria and Egypt. Since then, through financial incentives, Israel has encouraged its citizens and Jewish immigrants from abroad to move into occupied Palestine, creating exclusively Jewish settlements, which are illegal according to the Fourth Geneva Convention. Today, 40% of the Palestinian West Bank is off-limits to Palestinians. As of December 2015, about 800,000 Israeli Jews resided over the 1949 armistice lines. That's the West Bank, including predominantly Palestinian East Jerusalem, where the building of new Jewish housing and the expulsion of Palestinians have provoked international criticism, as well as from the White House. While still living in Israel, Pappé initiated the annual Israeli Right of Return conferences. They called for the unconditional right of return of Palestinian refugees who were expelled in 1948. Many of them still live in refugee camps in Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria, but they have not given up hope of returning to their homeland. For all this, Ilan Pappé has not only been attacked, but has gained the respect of the younger generation of activists and that of notable writers, among them the international journalist and filmmaker John Pilger. Pilger calls him, quote, Israel's bravest, most principled, most incisive historian. And Noam Chomsky recently co-wrote a book with Pape, Gaza in Crisis, Reflections on Israel's War Against the Palestinians. The May 2016 speech by Ilan Pape, Palestine is Still the Issue, that you are about to hear, explains Pape's positions, including his remedy. Since Israel has already annexed almost all of Palestine, there's no longer an option for a two-state solution. Pape says the solution is one state for all its inhabitants, and he lays out some of the basics. Ilan Pape spoke on May 2, 2016, at the First Congregational Church in Berkeley, California. He was the keynote speaker at the anniversary celebration of the Middle East Children's Alliance, MECA, a nonprofit humanitarian aid organization based in Berkeley. Since 1988, MECA has provided more than $21 million in food, medicine, medical supplies, and clothes, as well as books, toys, and school supplies to children and families in Palestine, Iraq, and Lebanon. Ilan Pape was introduced by Mona Halabi.
In his groundbreaking book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, Ilan Pape accuses the State of Israel of forcibly driving out over 750,000 Palestinians between 1948 and 1949. As part of a long-standing Zionist plan to manufacture an ethnically pure Jewish state. His book had a profound effect on me and on all the Palestinians in the diaspora because it acknowledged and recorded with honesty and courage our loss and displacement. I am the daughter of a Nakba refugee. I too was fortunate enough to have a mother who instilled in me her love of Palestine. 3 years after her death, this past summer in Jerusalem, I finally managed for the first time ever to enter my mother's house, now inhabited by an Israeli family. I could have shut my eyes and walked from room to room without running into any walls. My mother's memories had become my own. We Palestinians may have lost our homes in 1948, but I like to believe in the end we will return. It's inevitable. Please help me welcome Professor Ilan Pape.
Thank you very much. It's a great honor to be a keynote speaker in an event on behalf of MECA. I was introduced to MECA many years ago when one of my sons told me there is a bus that came to visit us, and they all entered our house. And since then, I followed very closely what MECA is doing, and it's a great honor to support this sacred work. I also want to thank Mona for this very moving introduction. It's always rewarding to hear Palestinians refer to the ethnic cleansing as an affirmation of their own trials and tribulation in a way that I think also opens some hope for the future. Tonight's title comes under the headline of Palestine is Still the Issue. When I say that Palestine is still the issue, I don't mean that for anyone who sits in this hall or for me, Palestine ever ceased to be the issue. We don't have to be lectured in any way or persuaded that Palestine is still the issue. Every day brings with it a different image that reminds us that Palestine is still the issue. The most recent image I'm taking with me everywhere I go is the photograph of 12-year-old Dima, who spent 75 days in Israeli jail. The day she was released, the desperation on her parents' face in the face of a ruthless ruler who can do whatever he wants with their children, and the very heartbreaking words of Dima, who said, "All I want to do is go back to my friends in school." So we don't need to be reminded that Palestine is still the issue. But I think you understand that the context of this talk is different. A lot of people would tell us that given what's going on in Syria, in Iraq, given the magnitude of the refugee issue in Europe, the economic problems in the United States, Palestine has been marginalized as an issue of global attention, and you cannot galvanize any more people to see Palestine as a central issue of humanity and inhumanity. And I think it is important to remind ourselves why Palestine, in this respect, despite all the horrific things that are happening in Syria and Iraq, in Libya, in Yemen, and despite the problems facing refugees in Europe and here as well, despite all of these distractions, if you want, it is important to remind ourselves that Palestine is the issue because much of what we see in the Middle East and outside the Middle East is connected to what happened in the past in Palestine and what happens today in Palestine. So in this respect, if you are still committed to Palestine with all your heart, most of your activity is on behalf of the Palestinians and for the Palestinians, you are also acting on behalf of everyone else who nowadays suffers in the Middle East and beyond the Middle East from crimes against humanity. Palestine is the issue for five major reasons, and I would like to point out each one of them. Palestine is still the issue today because morally it is the last and only remaining struggle of indigenous native people against settler colonialism that is still very active. Palestine is not the only country where settler colonialism was visited upon. This very country we are in was one of the first project of settler colonialism. Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. But in all these other countries where settler colonialism was definitely prevalent in the past, at least processes of change and transformation were taking place. Palestine is the only active remaining act of settler colonialism, and therefore it is representing the struggle of indigenous people and native people all around the world. Settler colonialism, as you may know, is the movement of desperate Europeans outside of Europe because they were persecuted there, because they felt that Europe was unsafe. And they went to other countries, to other continents. And when they arrived in those new places, they found an indigenous native population. Because they were persecuted, because they were looking for one-way ticket out of Europe, they felt that they don't only want to make the new country a home, but also to make it a homeland. The obstacle in the way of making a new place a homeland were always the indigenous native people. In many cases, the result of this clash between the wish to create a new homeland and the fact that someone else already lived there for centuries was genocide, elimination of the native people. We have to remind ourselves and remain hopeful that Palestine is still the issue because people were not genocided there. Because there in Palestine, the logic of elimination that informed settler colonialism in this country was terrible enough, but was not genocide. People were expelled. Villages were destroyed. The country was de-Arabized and Judaized. But the struggle continues because the people are still there, because not all the country has been de-Arabized, and because the people themselves have not lost the struggle and the wish to go back to their homeland, and those who are in their homeland have not lost the aspiration to make it once more their beloved homeland. So this is a struggle that brings together the evils of settler colonialism in the past with the evil of colonialism in the present. And in this respect, if we want to be part of a better world that understands that European settlers wreaked havoc, genocide, apartheid, ethnic cleansing all around the rest of the world, it is in Palestine where we can still rectify some of that evil by showing that there is a way towards reconciliation, as was done at least partly in post-apartheid South Africa. So morally, Palestine is the place where the logic of elimination is still at work daily against the Palestinian people, and everyone who experienced it here in the past or still thinks about it can see in Palestine a place where this logic should be rejected and replaced by humanization. Settler colonialism is also a human project that was motivated by dehumanization. People who were chased out of Europe and arrived in a place where someone else lived were usually poor people, persecuted people, victims of ethnic cleansing themselves. And in order to justify their transformation into victimizers themselves, they had to dehumanize the native people. They had to dehumanize the indigenous people. Zionism in Palestine is this lethal fusion of these two logics that still operates in 2016, where Palestinians are dehumanized and therefore are an object of elimination. Elimination is not always physical genocide. You can be eliminated by being enclaved and besieged in your own village without the right to move. You can be eliminated by being expelled within your own homeland to another place. You can be eliminated by being robbed of all your civil rights, either to vote or to be elected in a way that can have an impact on your own future. So in this respect, we are witnessing daily the experiment of settler colonialism in Palestine, motivated by these two logic of dehumanization and elimination. And if we are against such inhumanity, then Palestine should be the issue for us. Palestine is also the issue because it has been connected and associated in the most wrong way possible with anti-Semitism. For so many years, we were led to believe that the colonization of Palestine was the antidote to anti-Semitism. Europe, the United States, and the West in general used to convince themselves and others that because there was a problem of anti-Semitism, and its worst chapter was in Europe during the Holocaust, the only way to solve the hatred towards Jews because they are Jews was to allow them to colonize Palestine and dispossess the Palestinians. This irrational, this cruel logic that is at the heart of the connection between Zionism and anti-Semitism still fuels most of the support Israel gets in this country, and still is the main ammunition pro-Israeli groups and individuals use in this country to silence any criticism on the Jewish state and its criminal policies. And therefore, Palestine, and that's the second reason that Palestine is still the issue, because the Jewish problem of Europe, the Jewish problem of the West, is a universal problem. It was not only the problem of the Jews. The genocide of the Jews in the Second World War showed the cruelty of modernity, of European enlightenment, of the aspiration of Europeans to be culturally, morally, and politically superior to any other civilization. We need a closure to that terrible chapter in the history of humanity. Allowing Jews to colonize Palestine and dispossess the Palestinian is not the answer for this problem. I don't think today there's much anti-Semitism in the world anyway, but we need to make sure that people have a different conversation about the connection between anti-Semitism and Zionism and Palestine. The Zionization of Palestine increased anti-Semitism, did not lead to its disappearance. A democratic, free Palestine for all is the best antidote to anti-Semitism. And we have to talk to our Jewish friends. And we have to be honest with our Jewish friends who still believe that Israel, for some reason, is this insurance company that would be waiting for them should the Holocaust appear again in this country or elsewhere. We have to explain to them that this is not an insurance company. This is a company that destroys and demolishes other people's life, and you don't want to be associated with such an insurance company. Your insurance is in a just, equitable, democratic United States of America, not in a powerful settler colonial state of Israel. Palestine is still the issue because it is connected also to Islamophobia. It has a long history of connection to the fear of Muslims just because they are Muslims. The Balfour Declaration, in which Britain gave something that didn't belong to it, to a movement it didn't belong to. The two motives for the British Empire to take part of the Middle East, part of the Arab world, part of the Muslim world, and to grant it to a new ideological movement and promise that the empire would do its utmost to create a homeland there, the two major motives were, surprisingly, anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. There was a fear of Islam, there was a fear of Muslims, very much at the heart of the British policymakers who were about to take the Middle East as a new possession in the empire that already was very big, and they much preferred to have non-Muslim enclaves and kingdoms, if they could, in the new domains, in the new possessions. And at the same time, it was a double bill as far as the Jews were concerned. Here were a group of Jews who came to them and said, we want to leave Europe and to colonize Palestine. This was good news for someone like Arthur Balfour, the British Foreign Secretary. He could see how he can get rid of the Jews and at the same time have a non-Muslim British colony in the Holy Land, which he hoped one day would be restored to the glory of the days of the Crusaders. So Islamophobia, in many ways, or put it differently, Palestinians were the first victims of Islamophobia in modern times. They are also the last victims of Islamophobia in our times. It is the fear of Islam, it is the hatred of Islam, it is the animosity to Muslims just because they are Muslims that helped Israel to stop almost a natural process in the United States at the very end of the last century, in which Americans, because of the easy access to information, to knowledge, began to understand what was going on the ground in Palestine. It was the major tool by which Israel, after 2001, associated terrorism with Palestinians in a way that stifled any proper discussion about Israel, Zionism, and Palestine in this country. And we are witnessing it again and again, the attempt to associate violence that is carried out by desperate people in Europe and their supporters with justification for the state terror that Israel exercises against the Palestinians. So if you have a discussion about Palestine, you have a genuine discussion about terror, not a false discussion about terror. You have a genuine discussion about the causes of violence, both in the Middle East, in Brussels, in Paris, in the United States, and everywhere in the world. You have a much better conversation of how Palestine is connected to desperation, to violence, if you focus on that country and you don't allow the conversation about terror and the Islamophobic discourse to stifle any genuine discussion about the systematic structure violation of human rights against the Palestinian that has started in the late 19th century and has not stopped for even one day.
That was the first part of a 45-minute speech by Ilan Pappé, Israeli historian and currently director of the European Center for Palestine Studies at the University of Exeter in Britain. He was the keynote speaker at the May 2016 anniversary celebration of the Middle East Children's Alliance, MECCA, a nonprofit humanitarian aid organization based in Berkeley, California. Professor Ilan Pappé is the author of many books, most famously The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, London and New York, 2006, as well as The Forgotten Palestinians, A History of the Palestinians in Israel, Yale University Press, 2011. Ilan Pappé was recorded by Jeff Blankford on May 2, 2016, at the First Congregational Church in Berkeley, California. Come back for the conclusion when Pappé explains how Palestine is connected to the international universal issues of social justice and human rights. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. Downloads are free, and we appreciate any size donation to keep TUC Radio on the air. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.